a kind of loose resistance movement started, and they would take over places like this and open the sluice gates, allowing the water to pour back down into Owens Valley. And regularly they'd dynamite the aqueduct. But the city rebuilt it, and a game of cat and mouse continued for three more dynamite-filled years. Eventually the police clamped down with a shoot-to-kill policy, and the rebellion fizzled out. The city had won. Today, the Los Angeles Aqueduct is just part of a giant network of pipes and aqueducts, all serving one of the world's great cities. But back in Owens Valley, the lake has all but vanished, and the river is barely a trickle. The story of Owens Valley is not an isolated case. Today there are conflicts over water taking place all around the world. Israel, the Palestinians, Syria and Jordan dispute access to the River Jordan. Egypt, Sudan and Ethiopia quarrel over the waters of the Nile. On the Indus River, India and Pakistan are in conflict over dams built on the river's tributaries. And these are only some of the more well-known examples. Ten 10,000 years ago, we lived at the whim of the unpredictable water cycle. Since then, we have harnessed the power of rivers to advance our civilizations. We have extracted groundwater from the depths of the most unlikely places. And we have learned to redirect and store water on a massive scale. Today, we have unprecedented power over the planet's water. But one thing hasn't changed. There's still only a finite amount of water on Earth.
It seems to me that water is the Achilles heel of our modern civilization. It's the one resource, more than any other, with the potential to limit our ambitions.
The fundamental limits of the water cycle are still there. But the lesson of history is that the most successful civilizations learn to adapt to those limits.
So the problem is more with us. Now that prospect may find you gloomy, or like me, more optimistic. But either way, at least the future's in our hands.